You're listening to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast, where it's not always advisable, but it is always endorsed.
All right. This is Adam Tracy. Welcome to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. I am with the great and powerful Brandon today. Brandon, how are you, my friend?
I'm great, Adam. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So you kind of came to us and you had an interesting background and story, but why don't you give us a 10,000 foot view of kind of where you came from in terms of like your past work experience, and we'll bridge it to the, you know, the current times where things maybe have gotten a little more interesting, as they say.
Yeah, I'm in my early 30s, so I've been around. I like that skyline you have behind you. I'm an LA guy, have been my whole life. So yeah, as an LA native, you kind of get introduced to, you know, a wide array of lifestyles. You kind of take your pick as to how eccentric you kind of want to be. And yeah, you know, I always had a kind of dysfunctional relationship with my family, you know, and such. And my mom got me into, you know, acting early. And so I kind of had a strange taste of that lifestyle, kind of being in the spotlight in a way. And being an introvert, it was always kind of tough. But you know, I was able to do it. And yeah, as you grow older, you know, you kind of discover new things and new interests. And yeah,
so new interests, right? At some point in time, you touch crypto, right? You get into like the crypto world. And how does that come about? Like, how are you first introduced to it? Like, you know, my story was, you know, as an attorney, I had people coming to me talking about this magical electronic money. And I was like, I don't know what, you know, what the hell this is, but it worked out really well. And like, it's my whole career now. And other people get into it in various ways. Like, what was your first like indoctrination, if you will?
That's a good question, and kind of tough to remember at this point. It was around 2013, I believe. And my friend, who was actually Australian, I was going to say Australian at the time, that makes no sense. He was Australian living in LA at the time. And so we kind of were talking, and we were actually big fans of sports betting, mixed martial arts and stuff like that. So we would talk about that, and he got me, he's like, do you know what the blockchain is? Do you know what Bitcoin is? And I was like, you know, I really don't. And I kind of don't have any interest in it. And I don't know, you know, through time, he kind of molded my head around it. And he taught me what a blockchain was, how it really is, you know, it really is the token, the cash, the fiat replacement of the future. And yeah, it just ignited something in me, because who doesn't love money, you know?
Of course, right? So you get a little taste of it, right? And at one point, as I understand it, at least, you come to work with somebody or for somebody who's connected to crypto whales, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so tell me a little more about that angle to the extent you can.
That's yeah.
Kind of crazy.
Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. Over time, I don't think a lot of people realize this. The majority of Bitcoin is obviously now with China, because they're just wild with it. But for a long time, Australia was leading in whales, and people hold, like the amount of Bitcoin being held was actually in Australia. A lot of Australian whales. And this Australian guy I knew, he got me in touch with this other guy. And he goes, yeah, this guy taught me everything I know. If we stick with him, we're going to be rich. And I was like, well, all right, whatever, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like, you know, I'll try it. And in 2016, there was a platform that came out called steemit.com. It's still around today. Got bought out by a guy named Justin Sun. He's a Chinese mogul, Warren Buffett, et cetera, you know, and they bought it out and basically just ruined it. You know, excuse my French, but they fucked it up. They made it basically like a, you know, just, I don't even want to say. Yeah. So,
familiar with that.
Yeah. And so Steemit basically was just this insane, I mean, you can make a just insane wealth there. There was a girl who would just post makeup posts every day. She made $16,000 a post, because what would happen was the SBD, the Steem dollar, was worth so much because these whales would just keep investing in it because they really wanted a new social media platform, all these Bitcoin whales. And they wanted a place where they could just say whatever they want. They could post porn if they wanted. They could just say uncensored, you know, they were sick of Twitter. And, you know, of course, when you put that much money into something, people are going to leech off of it. And so that's the guy who I worked for. He basically would just completely leech off ideas. Yeah, it was interesting working with him, you know, and for him. And he basically had us replicate white papers. So we would just go online, look at ICOs, initial coin offering. So basically just people starting up their crypto kind of blockchain platform, business, service, whatever. It was kind of popular a few years ago. And we would just kind of hijack the white papers from these guys and kind of make our ideas look legitimate, even though we kind of were aiming to achieve something here, but it was mostly just to get immense amounts of crypto from these whales. And
right.
You know.
Right. So you were meme coins without before the yeah. meme. In the sense that, like, during, so this was like 16, 17, 18, around Absolutely. There at least. And yeah. this was like the, I guess, the really the birth of ICOs when, from my experience, right, like anything sold, like every
shit. Exactly.
Every shit in the world, like, it didn't matter what you wanted to do, people were going to buy it.
And look at Doge right now. Exactly.
Yeah. yeah. And it was like, it was almost worse than Doge. It was at least like, you know, I mean, I remember Doge, and Doge was really created in here out of a sense of need for dispensaries and growers to like exchange money and value, right?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And like it's become something completely different.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and it was like this little nascent economy, like locally, right? And just because you couldn't get any, you still can't for a large part. But, you know, for cannabis, you can't get banking, right? So, like Doge was this attempt to just in the cannabis economy, like shift value back and forth, right? Like a grower could play, you know, could get paid by a dispensary, and then they could take the Doge and pay their suppliers, and
exactly.
like this round thing. But, you know, having done myself like 20, 30 ICOs, especially back then when they were popular, like this sounds like a fantastic idea that no one was thinking about. So you guys are out there, you're just finding white papers, which people were at that time were spending like $40,000-$50,000 to have written by like professional writers.
Yeah, exactly.
Or blueprinting them, for lack of a better word.
And yeah,
putting them back out on Steam, and then crypto whales are just eating them up because the price is going to go up. Right.
Yeah. And really, you know, I'll be honest. My boss is just a really charismatic, great guy. That's just sometimes that's all it takes. And honestly, I was completely shocked. I mean, I can tell you how like it would work, because getting paid isn't the easiest thing. You kind of have to think about like a whale will invest in whatever you're doing, but the way they do it, they're not just going to give you money, you know, because crypto is money, and they're not going to just give you cryptocurrency off the bat. So you kind of have to earn it. So what happened was the ICO thing was working to an extent, but it was only working for the funding. It wasn't continual. You know, we wouldn't get continual funding this way. So we had to find a way to just keep seeping these guys. And so we came up with this thing called Steam Sports, and all we would do is basically just write these articles, and we found a way to convince these whales that we were going to spread these articles to every social media platform and just bring all our followers to Steam it. And that was it. And so basically they would just upvote our post, and on Steam it, when you upvote or like something, you know, a la Facebook, same function, except you're getting value. You're getting a portion of their liquidity, you know, their whatever they're worth. You get a little bit of that with every upvote. Yeah. They can vary the percentage. So we were getting in 2017, I mean, I kid you not, I'd write an article. I hate saying this, but I mean, you know, it's whatever. It's just fucking whatever. I would literally just write like three sentences sometimes, like, you know, in the bathroom, like about some event, and just because they would put us on an auto voter, they would just bought our vote. So they're like, we're not going to, some rich guy ain't going to vote every post, but he'll like, you know, we'll hook you up with this auto voter. And my God, it was just made 50K.
So like to I guess keep the momentum post ICO, right? Because like the ICO is the funding, and then as with most, I don't want to say real ICOs, but with most ICOs, they all die in the vine because they never make money, right? They just get funded, and then they try to maybe make money, and then they don't, or they just
yeah, the idea is shit. It's yeah, right, they're fine.
Right.
Yeah,
you're right, or they just blow the money on.
That's happened many times. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And it's like, okay, so you guys create this like content factory to keep the thing going, right? Like you just conceptually, these whales see this and think they're making like a go of it. Is that a correct?
Yeah, I guess so, man. Yeah.
Yeah. So. That's the wildest thing I've heard in a long time. And I'm kicking myself for not being more active on Steam it back when it was a real thing. But yeah, that is some crazy, crazy fucking shit. So then finally, like, you're doing this, but this dies when Steam it dies, right? Or...
Steam got bought out, and it got a bit harder because now there's new platforms that kind of forked off Steam it. I'm a part of them, but in a much more legitimate way. I kind of lost ties to those people, probably for the best for my karma and stuff, you know.
Yeah, pun intended, right? So, exactly. Right. And so, like, today's, I guess from your vantage point, follow them on like a Discord or something like that, this ain't happening. Right. And like, I know the market suggests like there's just no way people are really out there that are going to buy into this. But for a time, it was quite profitable, I guess, is what you're suggesting.
Yeah, I'm sure you know more than anyone. You got to hop on something when it's hot, you know, and that's really it. It was hot.
that's crazy. And you know what? It's funny, man, because it's like you know, like in my line of work, you know, you see now, because like regulation and enforcement move so slow, like now the stories and like, you know, I'm not comparing what you're telling me to anything that's, you know, legal, because it wasn't or anything like that, but but like you now start to hear like what was going on, like, you know, these things come to light, like, but they come to light years after the fact.
Oh yeah,
just because that's when, like, in the most egregious of circumstances, far from what we're talking about here. But, like, you see these things and you're like, that was a crazy, like, Wild West-ass time, because none of this shit could happen today. You know, and then you even look at it and you're like, I can't believe that this shit actually occurred.
You're so right, man.
You know, and you're like, you just blows your mind. So this is a... This one made my day, man. This one was good.
I tell you, brother.
So listen, man, Brandon, I appreciate it. This was short and sweet, but this was well worth the wait and talking to you. And I'm glad we got to hear your story, and obviously wish you the best. It's a true LA story, man, because I don't think that could happen anywhere else. Anyways, if I ever run into you inadvertently and I see a guy named Brandon in a bar, I'm going to definitely buy you a drink for this one.
Thank you, brother.
All right, man. Well, listen, I appreciate it. And again, this is the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. Appreciate everybody for listening. Check us out, SoundCloud and all of your favorite podcast platforms streaming. And we will talk to you next time. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Adam Tracy Underground Podcast. For more episodes, visit us at adamtracy.io or your leading podcast providers.